distinguished speakers here today. We'll begin with Dr. John Horgan, who has been director of the International Center for the Study of Terrorism at Penn State University since November of 2007. Prior to Penn State, Dr. Horgan came from the Center of Study of Terrorism and Political Violence in the University of St. Andrews. He was awarded his PhD from University College in Cork in 2000. He's currently finishing a major research project on disengagement and de-radicalization from terrorism, and his latest book is entitled Walking Away from Terrorism. Dr. Horgan is a member of the editorial boards of the journals Terrorism and Political Violence, Terrorism Research, and the Journal of Investigative Psychology and Offender Profiling. Dr. Horgan?
Thank you. Thank you very much, Mark. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you very much for that kind introduction. I would like to take as my point of departure a comment which Phil Schroed made this morning. Phil, I'm not sure if you're still here. You said something which has stuck with me ever since. You said the time is right. The time is right for the Minerva Research Initiative. The time is right for this kind of debate. You're correct. I completely second that, and I want to really emphasize that at the outset. The time is also right, I think, for some quite hard truths about where we are with respect to research on terrorism, where the gaps are, where the opportunities are, and how we might actually move knowledge and understanding of these very difficult issues forward. The rapid growth in terrorism research since the events of 9/11 has been absolutely phenomenal. There's no question about that. That rapid growth, unfortunately, has brought with it a number of very difficult challenges. Among these has been the failure to integrate diverse knowledge with existing conceptual structures, and also the failure to systematically coordinate research activity towards the development of strategies for understanding and managing terrorist behavior. Now, some of the reasons for this are actually quite numerous. I won't go into all of them. But I think some of the reasons for this are owed to things like, deficiencies in data collection, a failure to appreciate the practical value of multidisciplinary engagement, and also an inability to integrate levels of analysis. These problems aren't particularly new to those of us who've been engaged in terrorism research for a long time now, but they are lingering problems that we need to find solutions to. Overall, I'm sorry to say, this has resulted in quite narrow prescriptive frameworks that really do limit our understanding of terrorist behavior. As a result, we have a lack of direction when it comes to policy priorities. Despite some progress, and I don't want to sound too negative and do a disservice to my colleagues in this field, I think it's fair to say that current analyses of terrorism do remain short-term, incident-driven, politicized, and quite narrowly focused. The result of all of this, I think, is that it's very easy to be pessimistic about where we are and where we might be going. It remains, terrorism, a difficult, contentious, and quite emotional subject. The former chief constable of the Police Service of Northern Ireland once was asked if he could ever bring himself to understand the IRA terrorist. After pausing for a moment, his response was no. The reason he gave was that understanding came far too close to sanctioning and excusing for his liking. Now, perhaps he has a point. Why should we try to understand terrorism when it's far easier to simply condemn it outright? Regrettably, we don't really have the luxury of that option anymore, and we can probably all agree on that. Yes, terrorism remains contentious, it remains difficult, it remains fast-moving, and it remains complex. But that very complexity should never, ever prevent us from seeking out practical solutions to managing and controlling terrorist behavior. Except in the very rarest of circumstances, could we say that individuals engage in terrorism. Those who do engage in terrorist behavior typically belong to groups, organizations, networks of one kind or another, and at each and every stage of their involvement are they subject to the influence and control of some form of ideology. Only now are we beginning to scratch the surface on the complexity of what it means to be involved in terrorism. I think it's fair to say that even the smallest of terror networks, there are multiple roles and multiple functions into and out of which people are in constant movement. Involvement implies and results in, for most people, different things for different people. Still, we know very, very little about this process. Additionally, of course, involvement can imply different things for the same person over time. We're seeing increasing examples in Europe, in Great Britain in particular now, of bombers who also happen to be fundraisers. Being a terrorist today doesn't involve only engaging in one particular role, but in potentially several different subversive roles, sometimes even held simultaneously. Organizations likewise change in various ways. While many terrorist movements grow, adapt, and innovate, many others will inevitably contract, fall into decline, and fade away. Yet perhaps surprisingly, we know very, very little about these very significant issues of disengagement. The role of ideology, to raise one more set of problematic issues, also remains very poorly understood. For the most part, and particularly those of us with backgrounds in psychology and political science, tend to be preoccupied with ideology in terms of ideological content, which for the most part relates to things like what an ideology says or what it's all about. We know far less about how an ideology operates as a process that individuals and organizations engage with and derive meaning from. Now, that process shapes and influences almost every aspect of terrorist behavior, from the mindset, overall engagement, all levels of the terrorist organization, and at whatever stage of the process we are looking. I think it's one of the greatest ironies in the study of terrorism that when we typically tend to talk about the radicalization process nowadays, I think we're far clearer on what is meant by radicalization and much less clear about what is meant by process. Now, on a very, very basic and crude level, I mean, a process would tend to imply a series of stages, interconnected steps, which may contain unique implications for counterterrorism at particular phases. Another important implication of seeing terrorism as a process is that we acknowledge its complexity. We acknowledge that we will never find trite, simplistic solutions to what is essentially a very complex phenomenon. It was once said by a well-known terrorism expert and close friend of mine that the role of the academic should be to make terrorism known, to uncover its logic, to uncover its structures, psychology, and overall patterns. For many years, the academic community has called on government, policymakers, and others to hear what we have to say. Now we in the academic community face, I think, what is quite a unique opportunity. We have now a real chance to provide, once and for all, a conceptual basis to counter terrorism. And this, I think, will be the true contribution of academic research on terrorism if we are to seriously entertain this dialogue in the years to come. To understand terrorist organizations and their ideologies, we need not only cold-blooded analysis, but an understanding that is consistently informed by evidence and only evidence, and supported only by the most rigorous methodologies at our disposal, but within and across the diverse disciplines we have at our disposal. National security, both now and into the future, requires and deserves a comprehensive, evidence-based understanding of terrorism and the potentials for different kinds of counterterrorism initiatives. It's for this reason, in my opinion, that we should, in the academic community, not only welcome the Minerva Initiative, but warmly embrace it. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Dr. Horton.